Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Morning, Nate.
Morning.
How are you?
Good.
Oh, yeah, good.
It's nice to be here on an unusual Thursday.
Yeah, I hope you're not feeling too emotionally dysregulated through our Thursday meeting.
It's actually the best timing, because the Ockham Long List, which is New Zealand's kind of premier book awards, came out at 5 a.m. today. I don't know why they put it out at 5 a.m. Just
it's
beating the crew.
Quite psycho.
Well, the bookworms might wake up early. I don't know.
I don't know if anyone should be waking up at 5 a.m. I think that's it.
It's so funny you say that. I've been thinking this for about 6 months.
That's interesting take, mate. Awesome. Okay, so it's out, and who's on it?
Well, I'll first just kind of say what it is. So yep. The Ockhams are the big book awards for New Zealand. They're divided into four categories, mm-hmm. which is kind of fiction, but that includes short stories. That's the big award. That gives you 65,000 and a weird wee big statue of a golden acorn. It's always quite funny because people kind of struggle to hold it up. But that's
it
good.
It is quite an awkward shape to hold an acorn.
It is an awkward shape, and it's kind of not big enough to be big, but not small enough to yet fit in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also for poetry, illustrated nonfiction. And think for that kind of coffee table books, often won by art books, but not always. And then just general nonfiction. And they put out an 8-book long list for each category.
Mm.
That gets taken down to 4 in early March, I think the 4th mm-hmm. of March. And then it's the winner is announced at this big kind of night. Think of it as like the Oscars for the New Zealand book industry. So not like the Oscars at all, because there's like the same.
But like extremely highbrow.
Extremely highbrow. And that's on May 13th. And that opens the Auckland Writers Festival.
Oh, cool.
And it is a great long list this year. So for the big fiction prize, you've got some heavy hitters. You've got Catherine Chidgey, Book of Guilt,
mm-hmm.
1985, Dominic Hoey, both of which I think we would have talked about on here.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be the big kind of favourites. But there's some very great quirky books on the rest of it. So there's also an award for best first novel or book in each category.
Best debut.
I wouldn't be surprised at all for fiction if that went to Hood's Landing by Wara Vincent, a very beautiful story set in a small New Zealand town of kind of generations of women.
Cool.
And then I'd also keep an eye on that one for Stargazers by Duncan Sarkies. And Duncan Sarkies is just he's a master of kind of black comedy. He wrote this movie called Scarface.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I love Scarface.
We know him.
We met him because he worked on the
Pike River movie
as well. Wait, he directed that, I think.
Yes, he did.
Oh, it could be him, but it could also be his brother, who is, they did it together. So it's Duncan and Robert.
Oh, we met Rob. Oh.
But they're both great. They're both great. And
yes, we met Robert.
Oh, that's amazing.
Duncan, his book Stargazers is, and this might sound a bit odd, a kind of the time political black comedy set on an alpaca farm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome.
And the alpacas are very much characters in this novel, which I think is important to add.
He's very good at the, like, absurdist sort of black comedy stuff. Like, Scarface is pretty out the gate.
Exactly. That kind of almost, Scarface, is it 90s or is it early 2000s?
90s,
but,
yeah.
Yeah. And
maybe even earlier.
If you've watched Scarface.
99.
You can probably know what you're going to expect. And I need to watch it. Jenna keeps telling me.
Oh my God, you must watch it. It's so funny.
Favorite movie ever. And then also the book that I bought in today, Wonderland by Tracy Farr. So that's fiction. And then I have to admit, I'm not the best person on poetry. I know people who could talk about this poetry was for like an hour and it would be fascinating. I'm not, but there's some big names on there. So there is Giving Birth to My Father by Tusitata Avia,
mm-hmm.
who was just beloved by everyone except for David Seymour, who absolutely hates her. But I think that's a kind of mark of
honour. That's a green flag.
That's very much a green flag.
Pass.
Jost, A History by Grace Lee, she won 2 years ago. So great, great poetry category. We get into the nonfiction. The nonfiction I always thought would be impossible to mark. Because I was in the general nonfiction category, You've got A Different Kind of Power, Jacinda Ardern, Memoir, very wonderful. You've got Poking Horn Inside the Trial of the Century by Steve Brawnius, that's true crime. You've got The Compulsion in Us by Tina Margheriti, which is a beautiful kind of essay collection. You've also got kind of that academic book, as in 50 Years of the Waitangi Tribunal. Wow. And they put them all Northbound, Four Seasons of Solitude on Tiara, which is by Naomi Arnold, another beautiful memoir. And they kind of squeeze them all into this category where all the books are kind of trying to do different things.
Yeah, how do you even judge those against one another?
I have no idea how you'd be a judge for that. And they give them to these four people and say, what's best? And you're looking at kind of a personal essay collection, a memoir, an academic history book.
True crime.
True crime. Who knows for that one? But they're all great books. And then,
do you think Jacinda's memoir will be a favourite for the nonfiction? Or
I think nonfiction's always impossible. I've never been able to guess nonfiction.
Yeah, right, okay.
Because I think it will be. I think it'll probably be shortlisted. I wouldn't be surprised at all. But if you've got a kind of more academic-leaning panel, then they'll often go for something like that.
Yes.
If you've got kind of that literary essay people in there, they might reach towards that. It's really a lottery. But it is a great memoir. And it's for a kind of political memoir. It's actually a very literary one. I'm not surprised it's long-listed. I think it will probably be shortlisted. Winner, who knows? And then you've got the illustrated nonfiction, and these are the big, beautiful kind of coffee table books. I'll just kind of talk about two of them for this, but the ones I keep an eye on would be Hey Purawai, A Natural History of New Zealand Flowers, which is a really cool book because it's massive. It's got every indigenous flower to New Zealand, and it's got 3D glasses in the back cover, which you can take out, look at them. It's just a beautiful book. And then I'd also look at Mr. Ward's Map, which is getting a lot of conversation, which is essentially this one guy in Wellington who just went around, like, making maps of everything. And they found it in his house and they put it into a book, and it is beautiful. And it shows Wellington in that early kind of 20th century. Really detailed, a really beautiful book.
Beautiful.
Cool.
But, yeah, and then I'll come to, because we are a book review show, so I should probably review a book, which would be one of the ones which fortunately was long-listed, and it's my favourite fiction book on that list, and it's Wonderland by Tracy Farr. And it's this kind of fictional story set around a true location, which was Wonderland, which between, I think, 1908 and 1914 was Australasia's first amusement park, nestled in Miramar in Wellington. Okay. And that is a real thing, but the rest of the book is a bit different. And its premise is that Marie Curie,
The scientist. Famously so.
Also famously so, didn't come to New Zealand. Well, not famously so, but there's no record of it. But the premise is that she comes to New Zealand to kind of recover, and through Ernest Rutherford, he sends her to his friend who lives in Miramar, whose husband runs the amusement park. And so you've got this kind of wild premise of Marie Curie staying with the Lovrock family, who is the mother, Mattie, the husband, Charlie, who runs this amusement park, and their three triplets. And it's kind of an out there premise, but the book is just so lovely. And Marie Curie's actually not in it very much at the start. She kind of comes in towards the end. And it's really the story of the Lovrock family and the three triplets who narrate most of it. It kind of goes between them and the mother. And it's the story of them kind of growing up around this amusement park. And the amusement park is just a great subject kind of to be on. Like, you first, when they're babies, how the mother and the father meet is that she has this new technology, which is an incubation thing. And she takes it and she goes to the husband and goes, you should put this in your amusement park, because they need the money to bring these kind of maternal care things to New Zealand. And so the babies are kind of growing up in the amusement park, literally. Like, people are buying tickets to go and look at them in an incubation kind of tank and just point and be like, this is modern technology, the future of hospitals. And then they perform there. And I think for literary fiction, probably the hardest thing to do is tell something from the perspective of a child.
Mm. Yeah, oh, it's nigh on impossible.
Because adults, I think as soon as you leave your childhood, it's very hard to go see how you felt then. You can't write them as little adults, but also children are so much smarter.
Mm. And then we give them credit for, eh?
Exactly, they understand more. And the story builds. Marie Curie comes to the house. There's a tragedy, which I won't spoil. But what Wonderland kind of is, and I thought was the most beautiful thing about it, was the beauty of these small domestic moments. Mm. And it's kind of built around the mother, who is an incredibly intelligent woman at the forefront. She's a scientist. She's at the forefront of maternal care in New Zealand. And her interaction with the kids, seeing that curiosity in childhood and nurturing that, and then once Marie Curie kind of enters the story, seeing that as well. And Tracy Farr is a scientist, and I love a book that's, you can tell in the writing, is built around one thing. I remember Pip Adams' book I'm working on in building. It's very built around structure and engineering, and this is built on science. So the language, the kind of metaphors, that all comes back to science. And, I mean, early 20th century, that's something that's rapidly expanding. And you see that in Wonderland as a kind of portrait of a time. You get the scientific progress, women's suffrage, which the mother and her friends are very involved in. And also just a book about Wellington. And I'm no Wellingtonian, but I did spend a year there at uni. And it's a beautiful book, and a lot of it is spent along the harbour.
Mm.
And, I mean, anyone who's been to Wellington Harbour knows how beautiful that is.
Can't beat it.
Can't beat it. It's like on a good day.
On a good day.
And the writing of the sea and the wind and the landscape behind.
Yeah.
It's just a really beautiful, quiet but intensely powerful book.
Mm.
Oh, this sounds wonderful. Like the book of my dreams. I love everything you've just said. I'm definitely going to give that one a read. What a cool premise for a book.
Wonderland by Tracy Farr.
Yes, and we've got a stack of it at the table on Time Out if you want to grab a copy.
And it's made it on the Ockham Prize shortlist?
Ockham Longlist.
Longlist.
And I think it'll be shortlisted. I hope it wins.
Okay. Wow. Okay. This is Nate's bet for the Ockham Book Prize. How exciting. Thank you so much, Nate. Thanks for coming up on a Thursday.
Yeah, thanks for squeezing us in on an unusual time.
All good. We'll catch Jenna on Monday and resume as per usual from there. But that was Loose Reads. Thanks, Time Out.
That was Loose Reads.